We have kind of limited time today. We're going to
start on Monday.
We may or may not have to stop in the middle of here and take a class picture.
Oh, great.
I will continue to give shields to Mr.
Well, we
and Mr. No, well, I'm actually late.
Can they come to? They're like honorary seniors.
No,
until 2 o'clock.
Well, okay, the side. We'll try to accomplish, maximize the time that we have. I'm not sure how much time we have. We'll try to maximize the time that we have. So we're here in this Gemara, the Abdallah Balal. Again, the Gemara is dealing with whether or not one can say that a mayor requires Chassim Lashon HaTorah, but maybe Mizabani requires Chassim Lashon HaTorah. The Gemara roundly rejected. Why? Based on Omer Ayur Meir. Omer Nachman Kendi, he requires You should know that even the chasila, this business of finding the get in the garbage, meaning people are so lishma, you can go ahead and give it. Again, from just the review from yesterday, the diavad would mean that if you gave it, she should divorce Yoni and Nuga. Or the super big diavad would be you gave it and then she got remarried and she had a child, the kid's not a mom, right? Post facto, we'll consider it in the direction. The chasila means he finds that you get a rabbi, can he use it? Yes. How does the Hakosis? No, the Terakol, I guess, Uga Hakosis, both later and Gideon, and in Tulis, Mochiach, Major Zachman, Dahaka, we prove from this Talmud of Nachman that what? The Mechzik is Shikra Lo Kashin. We're not considering the fact that it looks false. So the girl wants to know, if I'm going to write a Shtar before it's true. The Bezin is going to write a kilim on the star before we really have the Eidim that's Makuyim. But we're not going to sign it. We think they're probably going to find the Eidim in the time of the star. If we already write the certification, we'll sign it until we have the Eidim. Oh, we'll write the Kanina. Presumably, we should do the same thing. And we'll write the Kanina, the document, before we actually did the king. We'll sign it until it's true, but we'll write it before it's true. So we want to know, is that inappropriate? The guy says, well, you see, for Rav Nachman, that's fine, because this get was written months ago, now you're using it for this couple. Wasn't written for this couple, and you're using it. So obviously, it's Lamechli Keshikra Lo Kashina. But Tosfos says that only makes sense. Mechli Keshikra is only concerned with Lechatchila. No one thinks that Mechli Keshikra was, let's say, put this way. Mechli Keshikra is not only a concern, but yeah, but Mechli Keshikra, what the Gemara is trying to prove is, okay, you're allowed to go ahead and write a kiyum on the get, on the star, even though it's not true yet. It's saying that, well, Hashem Lech Bekeshikra is saying, Lechatkiwa, you're allowed to write this star. So, he needs to, in order to prove that from here, he has to do that to what the mayor is saying. Not what the mayor is saying, you're allowed to go ahead and do this. You have to start, go ahead and do it. Yeah. Question. Oh, that's right, number one, they're not believing Lechatkiwa. So, oh, it's a non-historical again. The cause is also again, so she needs to walk me for Isha. And that mission is also very, should be very familiar. The Karbi Gemara Shum Katatar Meir, he only Shum Sakar Saguna. Again, that Gemara mission was what? Was the source of the fact you cannot write the entire get Shalom Lashma. You gotta leave. Even if you write a form, you have to leave the Torah, part of the Torah, all the Torah, part of the get has to be written later. Why? Maybe Sakar Saguna, so this, if you send it to the mayor, it's because of side issues. So why side issues? Why not say it's only the DMS? He said, no, that mission could then say that you can go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Obviously, if there's no concern of Katata, there's no concern of Takana Taguna, the Talba Ashba, well, Shaifi Yan is having, the whole issue doesn't come up. Shaifi Lum, the Katsi? Oh. And they tell us, even if you're going to say it's Mother of Farsh Nami Shahat Mashem Takana Sofer, we're allowing the Sofer to do it, but other he, according to Meir, he's not going to be a chum. If you say, even Lazar's Mekel, you can write a form, means the Kohen's mayor, who cares about the Ksibim less than Lazar, there's absolutely no concern. You can absolutely go ahead and write everything, even with the names. It's not a Mishakim. Okay. Bashar is less than Hakal. So right away, with some basic sensitivity you should have, you read the Tosef. At this point, Tosef just provided what? Two proofs for his thesis. The halachic thesis. Tosef had a chiddush halacha that the case of matzah b'yashpa is even matzah l'chatzilah. Not only if you divorce the woman with a ksivish l'lishma, it's a valid gershin, but one's permitted l'chatzilah to go ahead and employ, use a get del nifta l'lishma. Obviously, that person's brother, the person's your man. There's no need even l'chatzilah for ksivish l'lishma. So Tosef says it right away, gives you two proofs from the three different gemaras. So right away, what your antenna should be off. Why? So whenever you see something like this, and those are trying very hard to make a point, it usually means one of two things. Either means that someone disagrees, and this is the only sensitivity to develop. Or this time says, you have to rather wonder who argues. You start to develop a feel that if I look around enough, I'll find someone who argues. Alternatively, there's a very least a reason why I would have thought otherwise. Either someone mamish disagrees, or at very least, I could have had a havmin and all like that. And that you'll post this, here's this post this sort of self-maisa in achshava tchila. Because the Tosfos explains the second part of the Tosfos explains the first part of the Tosfos. The first Tosfos begins by just giving you their statement. You should know it's even l'chatchila with various proofs. Why are they trying so hard? Said this morning. When you... Mother walks in the door and the 8-year-old kid starts telling her, Ma, I was not anywhere near the kitchen. Nowhere, I wasn't even on the same floor. So by the way, A, something's going on in the kitchen. And B, it's not unlikely that this child's in the back. Well, it's somehow involved, he went right out of the kitchen. As the bard said, that lady does protest too much. And then after you won, the Tosfos right away jumps at you. Oh, it's the Nimun of Hatzila! And right this way, that right, why? Then Tosfos explains afterwards where they're coming from. Because from reading Rav Nachman, reading the Lashon Rav Meir, you could have gotten a misimpression that in fact it's only Bidiyah. The Hadalaka Amar Hakha Hatzaba, Unazalah, why do we say that? Why did he say Chassam and Tzalva? So here's fine. This is really where it all started. You could have thought that's Bidyevet. Why? Because the Lashon of Rebbe is really Lashon Bidyevet. Because when he said Lashon Ba'ashlo, the Chassam and Tzalva Kasha sounds like Bidyevet. Why? You should have said you made the Chachila. You should have said this Chassam and Tzalva. Those says no, but even though you might have been misled, if we were from there alone, you would have thought it's only Bidyevet. But let me prove to you it's not the case. And that's what they begin by saying. No, let me tell you right away, right off the bat, Remeir's even make a chatzilah. If it arrives from here, from there, from above, from out, from above, from there, and stupid. The language wants to deal with the language. Why don't you say a more clearly with chatzilah language? Instead of Remeir's only be make a chatzilah, he should have even said, if you really hold a lot more mice, but he makes a chatzilah. Shouldn't say so. The funny touch of the end, huh? If you would have said that, so then what would you have said? You would have said. You would have. It sounds like you should. If you find a get in the garbage, you should sign and give it. Well, what does that mean? Didn't we ask the man? Trying to get in the garbage. If the sinner's trying, you're supposed to divorce your wife. It's ridiculous. That's number one. That's very tisurim.
It's supposed to be divorce your wife.
It's also superstition, right? That would not be the halakhically appropriate thing that you find to get into the garbage. That's the sinner's trying to divorce my wife and go and divorce your wife. I don't think you would have thought that's what the price to men, but it's a very awkward way of saying it. If you find the get, you should sign it and give it. So that's why, because that was so awkward, the odd way of putting it, the other way to say it is this way, which is the Yemen. It was the Zobashwa, the Chassam of the Asnawa, Kasha. a small point here is what exactly is Tosa suggesting? Instead of what Meir says, he could have said something else. What did he say? He says, that's what Rav Meir actually said. Now he could have said, should have said, more of the lechatchila language would have been to say what? What's the difference? What's the difference?
Folks.
There are two options. If you look at Tosfos Rosh, there are two options. One difference, as I would say, another color, is this between Krip Tech and Mizvah Be'ah. Because how does it read right now? I see what Mitzvah Be'ashva, the Chassamo and the Sama, Tasha. This is all part of the case. Yeah. And you always have to realize, whenever the time I speak, I would give a case from this. So where's the case and where's the din? So right the way Rav Meir reads right now, the case is the whole thing. Even if you find the ashba and you started it and you gave it, in that case, what's the din? It's kosher. So that means that when are you asking the shayla to the rabbi? After it's given. If it happens, it's kosher. The Gemara also will be sensitive to that. So why did you say that? Why did I say? Do it. You should have ended here. If you look in the in another approach, should put kosher first. Another issue is not only the
because you need both in the word,
but there with the way the Talmud says it should have been about here. Chosbo benotza la and not the word kosher at all. Lagamer. What do you have to say kosher? You should say v'tel v'ashva. What's Tosa's point? Tosa's point is primarily you could have dropped the vav instead of saying zichatamo, just ended the case, or the point is not that your clan is vav, but you're dropping the whole word kasher. Because kasher, maybe. Yeah, if you gave it, it's kasher. Why did they do it? So then the Imam Shif starts toying even more than. But regardless, there's something about the language. Either it's the vav, which is the only one, which and the vav is not. It's not like there's a rule, there's a rule that vav makes things at the end. It's kind of a rule. The question is, where does the case end and the din begin? Do you put the dash over there, or do you put the dash over there? That's one approach. Again, another approach is the word kasha. Same question, then we'll go take pretty.
But even if you drop that vav, chasma v'nasna la is still in afar. Yeah, feel with Tobashma, Chasma Vinasna law, it's still Avar. It still already happened. I mean, you can't give up Sak in Avar.
That's a good point. I'm glad they should be Chasma Vinasna law.
That's why the Har.
Right, but I don't understand the Svar to say just drop the Vav.
No, that's not Svar. The Svar is to drop the Vav and change the
Hova. No, that's two different people.
He does not directly address that. He just talks about the kosher. I'm not sure. The easiest way to say it is definitely like the Tosfos Rosh.
Right.
Say that you're adding the vav. It could be everything. You have to say it's my point. It's everything. It's dropping this vav, adding this vav, dropping the word kasher. The Maharshik also makes another point. It's food for thought while we wait the picture. But once you're there, so I'm going to explain. You can say the following. The Maharshik makes an interesting point. This Tosfos relates to yesterday's Tosfos. yesterday Tosfos was in the Havamina, maybe your mayor saying Sivu Lishma Rabbi Gavan, and this Tosfos is in the Maskara. No, it's rejected. So this Tosfos is addressing a somewhat related issue, but it's appealing to the other. So what this Tosfos is saying is, Maskara, there's no need at all. There's absolutely no need for anything. So it's not really subject to the same issue yesterday, because here we are only talking level of, for sure we're talking level of the Rabban. You're saying, you could imagine that the Lechatil you would require Sivu Lishma. I'm coming to tell you, Lemaskana, there's for sure no need whatsoever. No need whatsoever. The Ha'avi would have been a deep problem to the Eved. The Lemaskana is not even a problem Lechatil. That's what he pointed. You shouldn't think that we only moved one step. The Havina was the problem with the Evan, the Maskana is. The Evan's okay. No. The Maskana is two steps. Havina was the problem even with the Evan. Maskana was it's good with the Evan, and it's even good with the Chatila. Let's go, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the Rav Chaim. So what's Rashi adding? What Rashi's adding is that we're not surprised that Rav Meir said it this way. We're saying they were speaking of cropping and editing, which we talked about before, if Rav Meir only meant it on the level of the Isa, then Rav Nachman should have added in those two words. Rav Nachman always have said Vazor. We have no time to say Rav Meir didn't say it. We are concerned that Rav Nachman should have said. So what's Rashi responding to? What Rashi is responding to is that that was over time. Why do you assume that Mishnayot are clear? All the time Mishnayot are not clear. Should have explained. Well, Mishnayot always explain everything. But that's what Rashi said. No. Okay, the Rav Nachman should have added. The Rav Nachman should have said it. And why? Because they give not more, why the Farusha Lenoka? He ought to explain things.
Well, that's the total of the Shavuot also. Amora is Milash and Omar.
Yeah.
And Amora is one who speaks, one who explains more. So I want to explain that a little bit. Yeah,
question. Can we just give a simple answer saying that this is not a Mishnah, right? Omar HaRamer means that Ramer was going to say this when he was giving Shir. Presumably when he was giving Shir, he wasn't speaking in Lashon HaMishnah. Presumably he wasn't giving Shir, just like saying some things in
You think Omar Meir, this is the actual language?
Omar Meir was constantly was saying.
It's not Omar Meir.
Why is Rashi saying that? So we made up this way, and maybe it will come clear. This Rashi really gets us to consider a couple of more basic questions. For example, why is it true that I'm not so clear? Why is it true? All the questions that may have occurred to you, but maybe you have answers, maybe you don't have answers, maybe it never really occurred to you, but to open the Pandora's box, to open the can of worms. of things that you do every day when you learn Gemara. So why is it that the Gemara so often will say, I have a Mishnah, it sounds like it says one thing, but it can't be saying that because I have a different Mishnah, because I have some other proof, it can't be that. Ah, really what the Mishnah means is not what it sounds like it means, really means all this. Oh, really, there's like a you're supposed to understand it as though there's a missing frame. What? It's not right? What's the problem?
That's how it's supposed to be read.
Yeah.
Right. Now, why should that be so? Why should that be so? So, probably for the following reason. We'll get the impression that Mishnayot were intentionally written in an unclear format. For probably for two reasons. For one reason, well, both of these are much defined by the Rambam and the Maimon of them. One reason is Rambam writes in the Talmud Torah, talks about the rules and regulations of Rebbe Talmud relationship and how Torah teaching is supposed to be carried out. He has a couple of expectations for Rebbe and writes the responsibility of the Rebbe, and he writes the responsibility of the Talmud. One thing he says, and this is an observation Rambam makes based on various Gemaras, that the Rebbe has the right, and it might be a good idea for him to sometimes say something which is not really true to see something of problem. Rebbe can say riddles, can say different things, to sharpen their mind. You really think, set something up and see if they can figure, I mean, not to leave them permanently with a false impression of Hamas Blood, but over the course in the middle of a shiur, you could say something which I'd have to jump on and attack. And by the end, it'll be clear what the end is. So it may be in part true that part of the reason why Mishnayot were written deliberately in a fashion that you need to know a lot of Mishnayot to interpret each Mishnah often is L'chadei. Could be part of it to keep mind sharp. And that's probably not the major reason. The second major reason is as follows. As the Gemara Tzimura says, the second time this morning, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in two parts, Tarsh Vachtav and Tarsh Valtev. So you have the Tarsh Vachtav is the text of the Chumash, the text of the Tanakh, ultimately. And Tarsh Valtev is the interpretation here. All the halacha of the Rosh Hashanah. See, now all the interpretations of the Tarsh Vachtav. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the original plan, the ideal way to transmit the Torah from generation is that the Tarsh Vachtav is transmitting the Tarsh Vachtav. They teach Tanakh with an open Tanakh. And so the ideal way to transmit Tarsh Alpeh is Alpeh. It's orally. I have open Tanakh, but I don't teach from the Shnayot. I don't teach from the Gemara. I just teach, we consider our Tanakh, and we talk when it's playing with the Shnayot. That's the ideal way to transmit Torah. Tarsh Alpeh, Tarsh Alpeh, Shalom Mitzal Hashtah. And then everyone knows the famous Gemara in Tumura. Many know it's Gemara in Tumura. You know the famous Gemara. That after the during the Roman persecution following the Korban Sheni, and then again following the Bar Kokhba revolt, which was 67 years later, so the Romans started really cracking down in terms of the Lima Hasar, particularly after Bar Kokhba. Because when they destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash, apparently their thinking was that they were going to destroy Jewish culture by destroying the physical element. By destroying the temple, they'll destroy the Jews. And they'll assimilate into the pan-Roman Empire general homogenized culture. And then they realized it wasn't working. If you read the account of the Bar Kokhba revolt, it's amazing. I think my guy just passed out on a tour Rabbi Yehuda Lundy, who hopefully will be coming. I'll have a chance to go to him. He's taking last year in the past couple of years from that for a Tanakhra. Unbelievable. Tanakhra from tour guide, self trained archaeologist, and everyone's how, who, where. Huh? He may take us on a tour after the season's championship and the season's coming. In the past couple of years, I had him take the guy to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which you might think, if you're not an art box, is not very exciting. But besides the fact that they have an armor collection, which is modernly exciting, and a fabulous antiquity of the Egyptian collection. And he takes you through Tanakh, from Bereshit to Megillah Esther, with mamash hands-on stuff. Unbelievable. Down to showing you glass, golden drinking utensils from the palace in Susa, from the time of Ahasuerus, that were probably used at the party described in Megillah. And it's fabulous, 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 but unbelievably huge. Something else. So, he mentioned when this past summer we did the Bar Kokhba cave. Something that we can do different times because it would be a long plane ride. But he mentioned when we went in the Bar Kokhba cave that the Bar Kokhba revolt was almost unparalleled in Roman military history in terms of the number of the proportion, the ratio of Roman soldiers that were brought in to quash the rebellion compared to the number of our conflict people. And there was an entire legion, Roman legion, that disappeared during that revolt that was never reconstituted. And annihilated, our conflict forces annihilated the entire, in the 14th legion, did not appear in the roles of the next couple centuries until the end of the Roman Empire. But they realized then, the Romans realized then, this is a historical background, Romans realized after this massive revolt, they thought they had crushed them by destroying the Beit HaMikdash, they realized that to crush the Jewish culture, they would have to do more than just crush the physical, they would have to get rid of Torah. That's why there was a tremendous backlash after the Bar Kokhba revolt in terms of learning Torah. This is why there are many Gemaras, there are many branches of Gemaras that are indicative of this. That's why we review it as you realize that the only way to maintain the Torah Shalteh is to teach start teaching Torah Shalteh in a non-ideal format, and then to teach Torah Shalteh in self-harkzah. But, despite the fact that he needs a Sassus Hashem, a Peres Arzacha, in order to maintain Torah at all, there was a need to teach it in a less than ideal format. But it's like it was the Huya. Really, you'd want to teach Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. Just you couldn't, because otherwise you end up not teaching any Torah generations, you wouldn't be teaching anything. So you needed to make a little bit of stuff, but as in any case of the Huya, you wanted to, as much as possible, to keep it about that. So that's why, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote Mishnayot, he tried to keep it about that as much as possible in two senses. Number one, most things were still not written down. It was like an outline. And Mishnayot said, like an outline. You have a couple things. Some people take notes, transcription style. When Rebbe sneezes, so they write down the Rebbe sneeze. When the Rebbe makes a bad joke, they write down. When Rebbe makes a good joke, hopefully they write that down too. Everything. If the Rebbe repeats himself three times, everything is there. And some people take notes outline style. Like you write down Rosh Hashanah, and that will spark your memory of what was said. You don't write down every line. We write that enough that you can remember, we look back at the notes, that will help you to remember what was said. That's where, as an aside, your Shimshon Kol Hirsch uses that to describe the original relationship between Tarshav Tav and Tarshav Tav. Tarshav Tav was like lecture notes, I guess they said. But be that as it may, so when you have an outline, how should I say it? I missed the guys before. I hope not, but it could be that once people in this room have had the unfortunate experience of being in a class where you notice that after a while that if you read the book, you'll know everything that you know from going to class. Right? So it could be a couple of people have this experience in high school. It could be you'll have this experience occasionally in college, regardless of where you go. So in that case, there's nothing added by the Baal Peh, right? Because it's all partial stuff. Either partial stuff of the notes from last year or from decades ago, or touch the top of the textbook. Huh? Right. Yeah, that's a good thing about being a Rebbe in NCRYU. is that you never teach the same. It takes like 30 years to teach the same parrot. You don't teach the same parrot, it's a different parrot. It takes decades until you teach the same parrot again. That's good. Keep it fresh. So in that case, there's nothing added by Tarshal Beth, because Tarshal Beth is everything. So Yehuda Nasi wanted to ensure that as much as possible Tarshal Beth would remain Baal Peh. So Mimela what? So Mimela, he drafted a minimalist type of tzav of Mishnayos, which would maintain the Tarshal Beth nature, because it's just an outline. But that type of outline, you need the Baal Peh explanation of the Masora from a Rebbe to make sense of it. The type of thing you couldn't understand.
I don't know what you're saying.
It could be the type of thing you wouldn't understand purely from the Ksav. So in two senses, it remains the Ksav. Number one, quantitatively, a lot of material, a lot of facts don't appear Mishnayos at all. And number two, qualitatively, in terms of the type of presentation, the type of presentation that it's not all there. Even what's being taught in the facts that are taught in Mishnayos, it's not fully explained. So almost as though it was deliberate that just reading the text alone without having a Masora for a Rebbe, it's not going to work. So that's why it was deliberately written that way. It wasn't fully explained. Not that he didn't know how to write. Maybe you don't have to know it, I'm sure, very well. But he made a conscious decision to hold back. Because as much as possible, if you wouldn't commit anything to writing, everything, things would be lost. You commit a little bit to writing, enough that would be a written skeleton, Tarshal Beth, then you'd be able to, between that and having your Bayim, you'll be able to remember everything. And as the Zohar continues, two, three centuries later, it decided that we need to put a lot more into writing, because it is not enough. It's no longer sufficient. So it's Zohar to write even more. And it's Zohar to write even slowly, over the generations, more and more, more and more material in terms of the amount of things that are written down, and in terms of the clarity, Ravina Rashi made the conscious decision to be clearer of what they're saying, and to be more explicit about what they're saying, to make it less Tar Shabbat Pesh, because that was necessary. So that's presumably what Rashi is driving at. And Amora needs to mefarish. Why not say that about Remeir? No, Remeir doesn't need to mefarish much, because the Tanam were deliberately trying to be much less clear. But the Amoraim were trying to be much clearer. That was the job. That was the need of the time, was to be clear. About as with the passing of year, of decades and generations, there's a need to be more explicit. So Remeir, when we're not more committed to writing, will be much more clear than what Remeir would need to commit to writing. And that's why Rashi says that Amora is the Arpa Farish, the Var of Yosef. Once we have this Maimra, and you have it in front of you, Ephraim should have it in front of you, it would be a good opportunity. This is an extremely important work. I would say it's very worthwhile for appreciating a large chunk of Gemara that many of us don't appreciate as much. Pretty much as mine was. But before we take a look at this, this is one announcement that I don't know if it's a big one.